Do you know that God has a great plan for your life? And do you know that He has made provisions for all that you need to fulfill His ordained plans for you? Join us as we journey into God's Word to discover and maximize our God-given destinies. Get set for radical transformation as we listen to the lead pastor, Destiny Impact Church, Pastor Demola Awoyeli, in this life-changing message. Your life will never remain the same again, in Jesus' name. God bless you.
I call upon the name of Jesus. Shall be saved. Oh, we give you praise, our Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Sons of Solomon said, your name is as ointment poured forth. Your name has been declared this morning. We decree that the anointing that follows your name, let that anointing work for every one of us. The yoke-breaking anointing, the demon-casting anointing, solution anointing. We rest upon everyone this morning in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. Lord, as we go into your word, speak to us. Let our lives not remain the same. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Okay, I didn't hear anybody say amen. Are you angry with the name of Jesus? Amen. Some people were not happy when that name was called. I hope you are not one of them. If you are one of them, you are a suspect. Amen. You know, how do you sometimes, you know, when you mention the name of Jesus, demons tremble. Alright, in fact, they go wild. Amen. Can we mention his name again? Say Jesus. Alright, let's celebrate the choir for that number. That number is anointed. Am I correct? Let's have, you know, there are some ministrations that we tempt the pastors to change his message. Amen. But this one, I refuse to be tempted. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for that number. I was almost teaching on the name of Jesus. Thank you. That was, you know, it wasn't just a song. It was a ministration. All right. Sincerely, I'm blessed. If that is the only thing I take out of service this morning, I think I'm blessed. God bless you. Thank you for that number. That's why it's always good to prepare. Alright, there is no slot in church that is ordinary. Whether 2 minutes, whether 5 minutes, you never can tell. God can ride on the wings of that slot to be a blessing to somebody. Hallelujah. You know, Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, there is no salvation in any other, but there is no other name given among men whereby we might be what? Saved. Hallelujah. He that called, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? He said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are what? They are saved. Hallelujah. Are you in church this morning? I want to welcome ourselves to church. We should do this properly, but it's good to wish our mothers in the house a happy Mother's Day. Hallelujah. How many mothers do we have in church this morning? All right. Put your hands together. Some of you are thinking, mother, okay? It is not the presence of a child that makes you a mother. Amen. Say me, I'm not even my son. You are a mother. Say I'm a mother. Someone say, you're wrong. Amen. You don't have to have given birth to be a father. God has called Abraham a father before Isaac or even Ishmael came. Am I correct? To the presence of Isaac or Ishmael or their absence never determined whether Abraham was a father or not. So we wish you happy Mother's Day. We'll still do that properly during the second service. And it's a prayer that the grace and the strength that you need to fulfill that unique role, the Lord will grant unto you in the name of Jesus. Alright, this morning we're looking at profiting with ideas. Say profiting with ideas. Alright, I give you 4 reasons why we hold our fast track service. Number one, it's a product of a divine revelation. I saw myself in a revelation teaching business, so I got the interpretation that it's high time I began to expose God's people to success and business success principles from the Word of God. But we know that not everybody will go into business full time. Some are going to stay and do their career. So we also added career to it. We also believe that everybody needs leadership to make success out of their career and business. So we added leadership to it. Then we believe that relationship is everything. Whether you will succeed in business or career,
is a function of what relationship. So our fast track service focuses on relationship, business, career, and what? Leadership. Number two reasons why we owe this service is because it's our responsibility as a church. Alright? It's our responsibility as a church. Alright? We don't just come here and hear about the Holy Spirit alone. We also hear about stuff that will make us succeed out there. Somebody said you have not yet attended the church. Alright? If what you learnt on Sunday cannot be used at your place of work on Monday. Amen? So that's our responsibility. We want to preach relevant messages that will be helpful to you in every area of your life. Number three reasons why we owe this is because the situation we are in our country, maybe in Africa, maybe in the entire world, demands that. So it's going to be an insensitive church or pastor who would not teach God's people how to not just survive the times, but how to thrive even in the prevailing circumstance. And the fourth reason why we owe this fast track service is because it's important we give us some practical tips to success in life, or practical tips to making progress in life. Most of what we teach in church sometimes are not practical. Alright? Maybe because of the way the message is. Of course, I teach practically, but I believe that there should be another service where people can be taught practical things. Okay? Things that they can make use of. Things that they can go in the energy of the teaching and lay their hands on something and they can work it based on the practicality that has been put into what it is that has been taught them. So this morning, it's more like a follow-up to what we discussed last Sunday, profiting with ideas. We have established the fact that when God blesses us, or when God wants to bless us, He would bless us by giving us ideas. Amen? And the ideas are the intangible things, alright, that when you and I work with them, they will bring about the tangible. Alright, so the most bankrupt human being on earth is not the man who do not have tangible things, but it's the man who do not have as much intangible things as possible. We established last Sunday that at every juncture or season of your life, the number of the intangible things in your life must be more than the tangibles. Okay? Alright, so if the only thing you have to show for your progress is tangible things, you are really not making progress, alright? That progress will soon be stagnated, alright? Because at every season of your life, the number of the intangibles must be more than the number of tangibles. Because the intangibles is what produces the tangible. So if you have less or little or no intangibles in your life, it's a matter of time, you will not have tangibles to show again. Do you understand? So the intangible talks about ideas, the things we cannot see, the things we cannot touch. Alright, it talks about promises, it talks about prophecies, it talks about insight. It talks about things that when people look at you, they think you are poor. Alright, can you imagine a man who have got a promise is richer than the man who has something to show for it? Alright, you have got a promise, you have got a prophecy. Our problem in church is that we don't celebrate some of these things, alright? Maybe no pastor teach us or teaches us how to celebrate them. Somebody have got a promise and is still feeling stranded. The promise is as important as the prosperity, amen? Because it's the promise that brings about the prosperity. All that Abraham had was a promise, amen? Genesis chapter 12, all that he had was a promise. He never had a child. He never even had a place of his own. He was dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. But he was so sound and so sure about the God that he was serving that even though he was only having promises, he believed that the promises are powerful enough to deliver the destiny to his hand. Do you understand? Alright, so that's talking about the intangible, the promise, the prophecies, the covenants, alright, and all of that. You know, and ideas are part of those intangible things, because sometimes we can't see ideas, alright? It operates or it exists in the realm of the heart. It exists in the realm of the spirit. It exists in the realm of the mind. Nobody can see it. And that's why a man of ideas must understand how to relate with the outside world. Alright? The outside world, they believe that. They think that until they see it, they cannot believe it. Alright? So if you are working with ideas, or if you are working, or if you are having an idea in your heart, be careful who you are relating with. Because human beings by nature, they only celebrate what they can see. Are you following me? Alright, so if you dwell too much with those who are carnal, those who do not attend fast track service like this, they may not help your idea generation or idea execution. Alright, you are dancing and excited. Can you imagine a young man
waking up every morning, not his tie, put on his suit, and is going out to work on an idea. Alright, a roommate of his can be saying, guy, you're just wasting your time, okay? Where is the, and you go out in the morning, you come back in the evening, there is no cobble in your pocket. You keep doing that every day for 7 days, and your roommate keeps saying you are wasting your time. If you listen too much to your roommate, you will not have a future. Because you are working with an idea. You have seen it, he has not seen it. Are you following me? And that's why most of the time, you see, the receiver of ideas, he sees what other people are not seeing. So be careful how you relate with people like that, alright? If anybody who cannot celebrate the intangibles in your life, it's not worth being your friend. You get what I said? Anybody who cannot celebrate the intangible in your life is not worth being your what? Your friend. So how do I know true friends? True friends are those who celebrate me even when I don't have something physical to show for my life. Do you understand? They celebrate me even when I'm dancing about a piece of paper. You know, all that some people use to build a conglomerate of businesses is just a piece of paper. Am I correct? All that some people use to build a mega church, it was just a piece of paper. And mind you, that piece of paper was not a checkbook, amen, or a check. Do you understand? That piece of paper was just 10 points that God spoke to them. They are just 10 things that they wrote down out of their conceptualization of what God was speaking to them. So if you can see somebody like that taking just piece of paper and say, I'm going, say, ah, what do you have to show for? He said, no, this piece of paper is enough. So be careful of those who are not celebrating the intangibles in your life. Are you following me? Praise God. So we have established that on last Sunday that, you know, God blesses us with an idea. And I wish I could spend the whole of the time talking about this one. Because most believers, they miss out on the blessings of God because they are looking for something physical. Alright? They are looking for something physical. We are going to be blessed with physical things, but it doesn't start with that. The spiritual first before the physical. That's the way the Bible works. The spiritual first. Before the what? Before the physical. When I mean the spiritual, what exists in the spirit realm, what exists in the realm that cannot be seen. So the spiritual actually is the foundation for the physical. I quoted Hebrews 11, I think verse 3 to us last Sunday, that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. We cannot see words, am I correct? We cannot see words. The world, the galaxies, alright, the reptiles, the whatever it is you're seeing everywhere in the world today, they existed actually in the spoken word. Alright, so all that God had was the word. The Bible said the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So God was empty at the time, alright. What I mean by empty was I never had something physical to show for it. But God was never stranded. God was never discouraged. The Bible said God began to speak for the intangible. And as he began to speak for the intangible, it was a matter of time. The intangible actually gave way for the tangibles. Do you understand? So every human being or every Christian or everyone that cares to listen must at every moment of their life be custodians of both tangibles and intangible. Do you understand? If I ask you today, what are other things that you still have in your mind that you probably feel God wanted to do that you have not yet? Does it mean I don't have anything? You know, you must never get to a point where you feel that God has done everything. So what's your prayer request? I don't have prayer request. Ah, God has done everything. If God has done everything, there's a problem with you. Because when you think God has done everything, he still has something more to do. So people assume that God has done everything because they are no more working with God. Amen. Because when you walk with God, God takes you from one level of glory to another. After one thing has been done, or after several things have been done, God keeps telling or showing you greater things that is to be done. Do you understand? Alright, so this morning, I really want to delve into how do you profit with ideas. You know, much ado about, you know, talking about the power of ideas, talking about the fact that God blesses you with ideas. Okay, in case you have been blessed with ideas, how do you profit with it? Because idea in itself does not bring about a maximum life except it be converted to something tangible. Are you following me? Except it be converted to something tangible. And converting your intangible to tangible is a process. Say a process. So maybe I should start by saying that if you cannot stand the process, you cannot receive the product. If you cannot stand the process or go through the process, you cannot receive the products. So converting the intangible to tangible is a process. Is a process. And if there is anything that our generation actually hates now, is process. We are in a fast generation. Am I correct? Fast food. I was telling my wife some days ago, I said in those days, Indomie is only for children, but now adults are eating Indomie. Am I correct? I heard very well. Can you understand? You see a whole family taking Indomie for dinner or for breakfast. Why? They don't have time. But in those days, it's babies. It took me time to start understanding that adults can cook Indomie and eat and say they have eaten. It took me time to come to that awareness or to that acceptance. Alright, I've accepted that reality anyway. Amen. Alright, why? Because we're in a fast generation, fast food, fast Indomie. Within 5-10 minutes, Indomie is cooked already. Am I correct? So everybody wants things fast. But success is not actually fast. Success takes a process. Amen. Success does what? Takes a process. Anybody who sees a Joseph that became a prime minister, one prayer, I've always told you that anytime they pray it, you need to pray it, oh, very important, but also go search the scripture yourself. Lord, I'm believing you for a 24-hour miracle. Now, I've received 24-hour miracle before, but behind every 24-hour miracle can be 24 years of unseen processes. Somebody can come here and say, if Joseph became a prime minister overnight, is that true? Is that true that he became a prime minister overnight? But it doesn't look like it. They say he slept a prisoner today and he woke up a prime minister tomorrow. Is that true? It is true physically, but behind that sleeping and waking up is 13 years of process. Am I correct? It was when he was age 17 that he got the intangible. Am I correct? The intangible was the vision or the dream that God gave him, the idea, if I may use that word. Alright, the tangible was when he was 30 and he became a prime minister. But he didn't just sleep at age 29 years, 11 months and whatever, and became the 30th. No. It took 13 years. Are you following me? 13 years of honing up his skills. Am I correct? It was not the same Joseph that was dreaming and interpreting, maybe not interpreting at age 17. It was not the same Joseph at age 30. Something has happened to his dreams or his ability to dreams. Am I correct? Something has happened to his managerial skill. Because he's been in the Potiphar's house, managing Potiphar's house, so he was developing his management skill. And that skill will be needed to manage a whole nation. God does not make mistakes. Do you understand? God does not bless people haphazardly. Some of us have a picture of a God that maybe wakes up. God never sleeps anyway. Maybe wakes up one morning and say, who do I bless now? He just closes his eyes and says, I bless you. God doesn't bless like that. Okay? So if you see that Joseph became a prime minister as he started managing a whole Egypt, did he fail managing Egypt? He never failed. Why? He has developed management and leadership skill while he was in Potiphar's house. Hallelujah. He had to interact with people all over the world. He has developed emotional stability via all that he went through. His brothers, they sold him into slavery. His emotional stability was being developed. So when he was to operate in the throne of Egypt, alright, relating with all kinds of people all over the world, he has developed his emotional balance. Alright? He has developed physical capacity. He has developed physical capacity. You couldn't have been a slave and go through all you went through without having that kind of capacity. He couldn't have been watching out, going after the welfare of his brother. There's something about capacity physically that Joseph developed. So when next somebody tells you that you sleep a prime minister today, you know, there is this debate in church today. I've not started my teaching, so I will start very shortly. I am not for it. I am not against it. I'm in the middle. I always like to be in the middle. Alright? Somebody can say that, I pray for you. You are a driver today. The next 1 year, you become the MD of that company. I can't pray that kind of prayer. Do you know why? I don't know what would have happened. I believe in miracles, but I also believe in process. I can pray for you that you become a driver. Sorry, there's nothing wrong with being a driver anyway. You know, I've told you before that if somebody tells you he's a driver, don't be too quick to talk him down. Driver. There are drivers and there are drivers. Am I correct? Some people are driving cow to Oja. Why some are driving the president, the vice president? Amen. You know, Donald Trump has a driver. Am I correct? So you are dreaming to see Donald Trump. He sees him every day. Amen. So when I say driver, so I'm not trying to relegate one for, it's a profession in a way. Do you understand? Now, where am I now? Where am I? I say I can't pray that. I believe in miracles. I believe that a driver today can become an MD tomorrow. But that tomorrow, you know, it's a figure of, is it figure of speech now? You know, when I say tomorrow, it doesn't mean that it will be a MD tomorrow. That tomorrow can mean 10 years. But you have a false prophet that tells you that, don't worry, in that same company, they will sack your MD and you will take over in the next 6 months and you are a driver today. Now, I believe in miracles, but I believe in process. So, the unbelievers have made us feel as, you know, if somebody can come and, somebody, I was reading online some weeks ago, and somebody came to share testimony that they gave him the job he did not qualify for. Come and help me sing hallelujah. And some people were applauding while somebody burst in and said, what is this craze? How can they give you a job you don't qualify for? What will you make of that company? Do you understand? The highest you have ever been is a clerk, and they made you the chief accountant, whether by mistake or by wuru-wuru to the answer. And you are singing, come and join me, sing hallelujah. In most of the cases, God is not involved in such elevation. The elevation that comes from God takes a process. Because God can never be an accomplice in crime. So if you are a driver today, and in the next 6 months you become the MD of the company, how would you run the company? Because it doesn't take 6 months to make an MD, my brother. It can take 6 years. Am I saying you cannot be? I mean, you can be, but to now say that you sleep today as a driver becomes an MD tomorrow, it doesn't happen in the kingdom. Say Pastor Demola said so. But somebody can be a driver today and in the next 10 years, become, or 5 years, or even 3 years, becomes an MD. What will happen is that within that 2-3 years, he has done something to himself that makes him fit the position of an MD. I wish that can be done in 6 months. Maybe I will accept that proposition. Do you understand? But in most cases, it may not be possible. Do you understand? So behind every divine elevation, it's a divine process. That's not my message, really. Did you get that? So in case God has given you some dreams, the more you are dreaming, the more you are doing. Amen. 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 Because some people, once they dream like this, they go and sleep and say, after I've seen it, will happen. It's not everything you see that will happen. Did you get what I said? Because I've seen it, because the idea, only God knows. You know, Miles Murrow said the richest place in the entire universe is the graveyard. Am I correct? Because in the graveyard, there are books unwritten, there are songs unsung, or there are ideas that were not executed. Why? The person that should execute it think that it will just happen like that. To just happen like that. Praise God. Okay, somebody is angry with this message. You know, I will know you are not angry if I say praise God, you say hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Alright, so let me just give you some tips to profiting with ideas. Hallelujah. If I say hallelujah, you say praise God. If I say praise God, you say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say, Pastor, what kind of academic exercise is that? Alright, so what are the charming, in case you are here, you don't even have an idea. The same pastor is talking about idea. I mean, I'm even clueless. What are those channels via which you can get divine ideas? Remember our recurring scripture in Job 32 verse 8. Alright, in case you are wondering, Pastor has never opened one scripture. He was just talking since. Okay, I've quoted about Joseph, am I right? And all of that. Job 32 verse 8, they say there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him what? Understanding. So the Holy Spirit in you is actually the giver of ideas. Alright? But I want to give you some of those platforms or positioning that you can give yourself that can make you to be able to assess ideas. Number one is that you can position yourself for ideas through your prayer closet. Say prayer closet. Alright? To my mind, the goal of prayer is not only to solve your problem miraculously, but to give you ideas as to how that problem will be solved. Because that's the reason why prayer seems not to be answered. Say, Lord, do it. And God says, okay, can I tell you how I will do it? There are some seasons in my life that I have some financial needs, and I go to God. And while in the place of prayer, God was telling me what to do. But if I was not able to trap those ideas, I would leave that prayer closet and say, God did not answer my prayer. So in our prayer closet, we can assess ideas. Habakkuk chapter 2 from verse 1. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 from verse 1. The prophet Habakkuk said, I will stand upon my watch, and I will stand to see what he will say unto me, and what I will answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord said, write the vision. In my own coinage, write the idea. Do you understand? So we get ideas in our what? Prayer closet. So let me encourage somebody today that when next you go before God in the place of prayer, believe him for an idea. How did Daniel become a celebrity or a star in Babylon? Whenever there were issues to be solved in Babylon, Daniel will go to his place of prayer. What the Bible calls secret is an idea. Are you following me? He said, there was a secret revealed to Daniel. Alright, so it was the prayer closet that fast-tracked the ideas that Daniel used to actually solve the problems in Babylon. Are you following me? So ideas are generated in the place of prayer. Now, I wish to say this a million times, because we have come to a point in church that I wish time will allow me to say this very well. We have come to a point in church that people don't understand how powerful prayer is. We have been taught to work on our mind. How do I put it now? I'm not against the mind. Alright? Like I told us last Sunday, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 that we have the mind of Christ. Do you understand? Alright, we have the mind of Christ. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, it said God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of what? Sound mind. So your mind is very important in the success equation. But there is an extreme we have got into in church that we have made people to feel that where it is not about the prison, about prayer, just go and think. The way God actually plans it originally is that your spirit receives the idea, your mind processes the idea, and your body execute the idea. It must be that order. So that's why we call this spirit, soul, and what? Body. But the problem is that we have not taught Christians how to maximize the spirit life. So Christians are praying in tongues for 3 hours and they got nothing out of that tongue. So you now see an average Christian competing with the people of the world in the mental game. I am not saying we should not compete with them in the mental game, but we have an edge. Somebody say we have an edge. Our edge is that our spirit can receive what they cannot receive. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. He said, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually what? Discerned. Praise God. Remember verse 9 that says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not come to the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Now verse 14 is as valid as verse 9. He said, for the natural man, the unbeliever, maybe the carnal Christian, because the natural man is not only an unbeliever, somebody who is a believer but is not working supernaturally or spiritually is natural. He cannot receive of the things of the Spirit of God, but they are spiritually discerned. So our prayer closet gives us a platform via which our spirit man can receive from the Spirit of God. Do you understand? Because the Holy Spirit knows all things. Amen. He knows all things. He said, who can know the things of a man except the spirit of that man who is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, am I correct? But we have received the spirit that is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us. Now listen to me, if you don't pay attention to this scripture, you will miss this message. Because you might be saying, Pastor, are you now spiritualizing? I say yes, because that is where it starts from originally. That is where it starts from. I wish you would spend time to go and read that 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9. He said, who can know, who else can know the things of a man except the spirit of man that is in him? Even though the things of God, no man can know except the spirit of God. He said, but we now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the spirit who is of God. Why? So that we may know the things, ideas, purposes and plans, promises and prophecies. Alright? That have been freely given to us by God. Hallelujah. And he said, which things we also speak. Not with the words which man's wisdom teaches. Am I correct? But which the Holy Ghost. Somebody said the Holy Ghost. Somebody said the Holy Ghost. Which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things unto spiritual. Listen to me, you can succeed in business by the Holy Spirit. You can get an idea that we turn. Listen to me, there are some ideas that are stoppable, but there are some ideas that are unstoppable. Whatsoever is from above is above all. So if you open your spirit man to the Holy Spirit and you get an idea from above, it is above all. Hallelujah. It is above the policies of the present administration. It's above the policies in whatever sphere of influence that you are operating from. Hallelujah. So it's spirit, soul, and body. But our word says soul first. I wish I can spend time to talk about this one, but it's not really what I want to emphasize. Spirit, soul, and what? So my spirit receives, my mind processes it. So there can be different kinds of Christians. Some don't pay attention to their spirit, they are engaging their mind. So as they engage their mind, sometimes their mind goes off point. Amen. Are you following me? They are engaging their mind. Sometimes their mind is limited. They are engaging their mind, even though they get stuff in their mind, they are competing with the unbelievers, and unbelievers are winning them. Why? There is a higher life. See, there's a higher life. And there can be other categories of Christians who receive from the Spirit, but their mind is wrong. Amen. Their mind is undeveloped. Because in fact, that's the way most Christians fall into. So some pastor can say it's about the Holy Spirit praying in tongues, but what about your mind? Because your mind, alright, can only get as much from the Holy Spirit depending on how much of capacity your mind has. Am I correct? Why do we go to school? Why do we read? So that our mind can be enlarged. Am I correct? So that when the Holy Spirit gives us an idea, our mind can process it. There are some ideas the Holy Ghost is giving some people now. They are throwing it away because their mind is underdeveloped. So you are going to be a backward Christian if the only thing you are doing is developing your spirit. You will develop your spirit, you will have answers, but you can't go nowhere. Because the answers must be processed by your mind or with your mind. Amen. So it's important. Praise God. So when next you go to your prayer closet, believe God for what? Believe God for what? Is it possible you have an idea every day? Is it possible? Somebody should leave this service and have what I call book of ideas. Say book of ideas. Do you know what will happen to you from this service? If you have a book of idea, you will never lack idea. No, that's the way it works. You will never lack idea. Can you imagine me go to God's presence? I go with my normal jotter and I go with a book of idea. Listen to me. God will give you idea. Because God doesn't waste his resources. And the most powerful resource with God is spiritual resources or resource. Are you following me? So when God sees that you are not positioning yourself to receive it, he will withhold it. Are you following me? He will withhold it. I'm telling you, because cast not your spears among swine. Don't give what is only to dogs. You know what that means? That means don't give something of value to those who value it. And one of the things that shows that you value what God is bringing is that you go to God's presence with something to trap what he's bringing. See, I have a book of idea. You may not have had that before, but you can do it. Go and buy it. Some of you have some jotters they gave you in wedding. Is your concierge a pillow? Eh? Or you have some good man, whatever you can use, something tangible that you can use to trap ideas. Praise God. Number one. That's number one, right? Through your what? Prayer closet. Number two. I need to rush through this because I wish to finish this morning. Number two. It's via meditation. Via what? Meditation. Alright? When you meditate, you are rubbing minds, as it were, with the Spirit of God. You are processing stuff in your mind. Alright? Meditation is powerful. No wonder the commandment that God gave us was not to read the Bible. Amen?
He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt what? Meditate on it. How often? So a lot of Christians are only reading, but they are not meditating. Listen to me. It is in the crucible of meditation that the juices of the scriptures lies. The Bible you read this morning that you are thinking, wow, I got it. You didn't get it though. How many of you study your Bible this morning? My hands is first to be up. Okay. Sorry, I won't do that because sometimes I'm embarrassing people in church. Amen. I will not be embarrassed in Jesus' name. Alright. So the Bible you studied this morning, if you did study your Bible, you didn't get it yet. Take your time and meditate. Meditation squeezes out the juice or the juices in the things you study. As you meditate, your mind begins to open up to other dimensions. So everybody must have a daily practice of meditation. Do you understand? So we call it thinking. Listen to me, everybody can meditate. Do you know why? Do you know why? Most people worry. How many of you, okay, don't raise your hand, okay? How many of you worry? Don't raise your hand. Do you understand? If you can worry, you can meditate. Worry is simply negative meditation. You are bothered about what did not happen or what has not happened. Meditation is you steering up your heart to what can happen. Are you following? So worry and meditation, they are equal and opposite. So if you have ever worried here before, you can meditate. In fact, some people, they are daily warriors or warriors. Amen. Can you be a daily meditator? Amen. Some people worry daily. Let NEPA take light in the night like this and they don't have any place to go. The next 3 hours is time of worry. Any pastor, what's happening? I'm not feeling sleepy. Then what should we be doing? I'm just thinking, sha. And that's why you now discover that the little problem now becomes big problem. Am I right? In the place of worry, big little problems become what? Big problem. But in the place of meditation, big problem becomes little problem. Because God begins to show you dimensions, possibilities, things that on the normal say you wouldn't have thought of it. Say, I will meditate. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Alright, I quoted this somewhere some time ago. You know, verse 12 says, let no man despise your youth, but be an example of what? Believer. Are you following me this morning? In word, in conversation, in spirit, in faith, and all of that, in purity. Alright? Verse 13 says, till I come, give attention to what? To reading, to exhortation, and to what? And to doctrine. Verse 14 says, meditate on these things. Am I correct? Give yourself how? Holy to them, that your profiting may appear to how many? All. So one of the things that will make your profiting to appear to all is that you live a life of meditation. Alright, there's a scripture in Genesis, we can find it. The Bible spoke about Isaac, that Isaac was meditating in the field when he were bringing Rebekah to him. Am I correct? So Isaac had a daily life of meditation, I suppose. So if you hear that Isaac sold in that land, and the same year he wrought 100-fold, it didn't just happen that way. The same thing with Jacob. Jacob was the first animal husbandry, whatever you can, scientists you can think of. He crossbred animals. Am I correct? Did you think he just got that just by loafing about? He was a man of meditation. So maybe while he was meditating, the idea began to occur to him that what of if you place this strict animal, people this one there, let me go and try it. So meditation is powerful. Hallelujah. Beyond just having a prayer room, you can also have a thinking room. Beyond just having a prayer time, you can have a thinking time. Somebody say thinking time. The story was told, that was it Bill Gates now? We've had this several times. That while he was a young boy, and I don't expect you to say that to your mom. Alright, his mom was asking, said, Bill, we've been looking for you. Where have you been? And the guy was just in his room alone. So what are you doing here? And he said, oh, mommy, I'm thinking. Don't you think? Don't say that to your mom. Or else you will see stars. After she gives this, some of you are not even under your mom again. You know, no wonder the man took his word by surprise. He said, mom, I'm thinking. Don't you think? And it's true, most people don't think. Am I correct? Yes, problems exist in Africa today because Africa is led by non-thinking leaders. I'm telling you, people don't think. But may you not join a generation of people that don't think. Listen to me, even in church, most church folks don't think. They don't think.
And I read Ephesians 3 verse 20. God is able to not just do according to what we ask. He also does according to what we think. Amen. So thinking and prayer, as far as God is concerned, they are the same level. Amen. So God does not only do according to my prayers, He does according to my what? Thinking. So I can pray well, but not think well. I will still not get results. That's powerful. I can pray well, because our problem is that our thinking does not match our prayers. Are you following me? People pray well, but they think poorly. And Ephesians 3:20 says, God is not only committed to your prayer, He's also committed to your thinking. Say, I will think. Say, I will think. So you must meditate or think constructively. When people meditate or think destructively or negatively, is what we call what? Worry. May you not worry again in Jesus' name. Number three, through the right relationships. Why must we keep the right relationships around us? Because they blow our mind. Have you ever been with somebody before and you left and said, that guy blew my mind? Listen to me, you need to constantly be around people that blow your mind. Don't be intimidated by those who blow your mind. Because some people, once somebody is blowing their mind, they say, I can't be his friend again. He's just intimidating somebody. No, he's not intimidating you. Hallelujah. There are some people that when you fellowship with them, you just suddenly start thinking better. You start imagining stuff you would not have imagined before. In fact, it is in the process of church relationship that ideas are exchanging minds. Amen. Alright, they are discussing stuff and you are catching something. Say, I will catch something. So that's the power of relationship. Proverbs 13 verse 20 says, he that walks with the wise will become wise, and a companion of fools shall be what? Greatly destroyed. So when I work with thinkers, with people of idea, I also will operate in the realm of ideas. 1 Samuel chapter 10, the Bible said, Samuel told Saul, he said, you will find the company of prophets. He said, you join yourself with them, and the spirit of the prophet will rest upon you, and you begin to do what they do. You begin to prophesy with them. Number 4, right environment. Right environment. This talks about exposures. Alright, why do we need to expose ourselves? Exposures as a way of helping you to catch ideas. Alright, why do we travel? The purpose of travel is not only to take pictures. Alright, the best picture you should take when you travel is a picture in your mind. Say, picture in my mind. Some people, the only picture they have to show for their travel is the selfie they took in front of White House. Amen. Amen. I went to America. What has America done to you? That's what's most important. Amen. It's not what you went there to do. What has it done to you? Some people will enter the room of great people and they are still wanting to take selfie. Amen. Am I against selfie? No. But let your mind capture something. It is what your mind captures that changes your life, not what your phone captures. Did you get what I said? Mindset is better than handset. You know mindset? You know handset? So their handset is bigger than their mindset. So their life is small. Some people, they do everything possible to get the latest handset. Why not do everything possible to get the latest mindset? May you not be a backward generation. Because that's what just came to some people are so backward. Their generation is already, and that's the problem with Africa. Africa is still operating in the 19th century. Why some people are taking 2000? I'm telling you, there is no way you will meet them. Because why you are still, you are not even in today. Not Nigeria in Jesus' name. A lot of African countries are not even in today, they are still in yesterday. And our contemporary in the Western world, they are in tomorrow already. Amen. We are still trying to grapple around our oil. Oil price is going up. Some are saying, oil is well. I'm telling you. If you read very well, you understand that the world is going beyond oil. Amen. Somebody said, by the time electric cars now take everywhere, Nigeria will be drinking their oil. You go and buy it and drink it. So nobody is thinking about that. So if electric car is taking over the world, if from today, from the couple of years now, there are no fuel power car again, What would you do? You have not solved the power problem. Amen. Because if you are not solving power problem, it means you are not envisaging an electric generation. Am I right? Because in that, when that time comes, you won't go to a fuel station, you go to charging ports. Amen. You take your car there, they will charge your... And so if you still have power problem, it means we are not even in today, we are yesterday. Amen. Leave Nigeria alone. You must change. Say, I must change. Because people now blame Nigeria. Leave Nigeria. Concentrate on your own life. Amen. Praise God. So exposure is important. Let me give you two man a round up. I'm not even true, and I don't plan to teach this next week. I gave you four now, right? Then acquiring knowledge too. Acquiring knowledge. Study to show yourself approved. When you acquire knowledge, it helps you to generate ideas. Ideas are mostly found in books. There's some ideas that won't come to you on your own. You see it in a book. Amen. Am I correct? You have people say, I was studying so book and something eats me. Have you heard that before? Something will eat you when you read book. But when you don't read book, nothing will eat you. Amen. For some people now, the only thing they know to do is to do other things, might not study. Praise God. Then number six. During casual moments. I wish to put this down. Because sometimes idea comes during casual moments. I don't mean you should live a casual life, but at some moments are just casual moments. Am I correct? You went for a wedding or you went for a burial. Nobody is preaching, you are not reading, but you're just observing the MC. And it was cracking jokes and making people laugh. Casual moment, everybody is just smiling and something just eats you. Are you following me? Casual moment can be when you are in the toilet. So listen to me, there will be so many casual moments in your life, but you must not live a casual life. Do you understand? Do you understand? There will be so many what? But you must not live a what? What do I mean? Toilet can be casual moment. You are not praying and most of it press your phone. Can I encourage you once in a while? Don't take your phone to the toilet once in a while. Amen. You will, if you do what I'm saying now, though I'm a victim too, I take my phone to it. Most of what I post online, I do them in the toilet. Amen. You think I have time to be sitting down? Some people will say, I don't do that. My wife knows I spend 1 hour 30 minutes in the toilet every morning. Amen. Alright, so I do that. So toilet time to me is a time to do all those social media stuff. Alright, that's toilet time. But in case you can do away with your phone sometimes, enter the toilet, take a piece of paper, sit down. Idea will flow. Amen. Did I say sit down? So casual moments too are important. It can be in a wedding, a burial, on ATM, a queue on the ATM machine. You know what I mean? When I mean casual, I mean casual. Alright? You are even putting on slippers and boxer. Casual. You are playing ball. Casual. As the guy just hit the ball like this, an idea just struck you. Please take note of it. In fact, some of your biggest ideas sometimes can come during casual moments. But the fact that it's a casual moment doesn't mean that the idea is casual. See, I just got it while they were playing ball. The idea that can turn everything around can happen to you during such casual moments. So what do you do with idea? Just mention them briefly. You may not be able to capture them because of time, but you can listen to the message. What do I do with idea? Number one, believe them. When ideas come, do what? Because if it is actually a divine idea, it will be bigger than what your brain can presently handle. Your brain can only understand what it has known before. Do you understand? But when a new information comes, there is this struggle that your brain will first of all have. Do you understand? And that's where faith comes in. Do you understand? You believe it. That one day, we will develop a machine that will be flying in the air the way birds are flying. And this machine will carry hundreds of people. And it has never happened before. Your brain will first of all struggle with it, but yet your heart believe it. Do you understand? Oh, it was going to rain, flood, we flood everywhere. I want to build a boat, an ark and all of that. It has never happened before. So believe. So a man of idea must be a man of faith. Amen. Because most ideas will not appeal to your senses. Do you understand? Number two, hunt for ideas. Alright, what do I mean? Hunt for them.
Alright, number three, write them down. What you don't write, you don't own. Writing brings ownership. Don't just think it, ink it. Write it down. Habakkuk said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables. And that's when you are going for your quiet time. Every day I have my pen with me. I'm going to my mechanic, my pen and my jotter is with me. Write them down. And sometimes I quickly trap them on my phone. If I, these days it's easier to put stuff on my phone, then I will not transfer it. Number four, develop them. Ideas are seeds, they need to be watered and developed. Alright? Develop them. Ideas are what? Seeds, they need to be watered, nurtured, and developed. Number five, place them side by side with scriptural values and philosophies. As much as it's important that you open yourself to ideas, some ideas are going to come from the devil, some will come from your flesh. So when you just oppose them with scriptures, scriptural values, philosophies, and all of that, and foundation, it helps you to decipher which idea is from God and which is not, and which idea is healthy and which is not. Number five, or number six, share them with the right people. Not the wrong people, but share them. Alright, if you have a company of friends that you brainstorm, share them. Right people, not wrong people. I'm sure you should be careful. I'm sure you've been taught you should be careful with who you share your idea with. Some people will steal your idea, but you need one or two persons in your life that you share such ideas with, people that will help you to magnify it, not to reduce it. But be careful who such people are. Number six, number seven, protect it from killers and stealers or thieves. Stealers, killers, and destroyers. Some people, they steal your ideas. Some, they steal your ideas. And some, they destroy your idea. John 10:10. Their father is the devil. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to what? Destroy. So protect your ideas from killers, from stealers, and from what? Destroy. Number eight, work on it. Work on it. Once ideas come, start working. It doesn't mean that you start going to do something and you are reading about it. Am I correct? Because when we talk about work on your idea, it doesn't mean that you should go and take loan from GT Bank. Amen. Amen. But they are giving free loan now. Amen. But it's not loan you need first of all. When people say, Pastor, I just don't want to loan me. Nobody should loan you first. Go and do other things around your idea that does not require money. Go and study about it. Go and do some paperwork. Do, in fact, when you get to the verge where money is needed, the money will come. Amen. The reason why money is not coming is because you have never gotten to that point where money is needed. So God is withholding the money. Amen. God says, I will send the money. Go and work on the idea first. If there is a man to till the ground, then God will send the rain. Amen. So till the ground of your ideas, the rain of provisions will come in Jesus' name. Number nine, maximize the ideas. One idea can bring multiple results. Most times our ideas just stop at one result. One idea can bring multiple results. That's what this guy, Max Zobach, is doing now. One idea of connecting people is bringing so many things. And if Jesus tarries in 100 years to come, Facebook might still be existing, but it will be existing in the way it is now. Am I right? It will exist in... You can't imagine what Facebook will look like in 100 years if Jesus tarries. Why? Every idea must be what? Maximized. One idea can generate what? Multiple results. The last one, build systems and structures around the idea. This one is for another day. Build systems and structures. I will teach systems and structures in one of our fast track services. If I start talking about that now, time will, of course, I don't have the time. Alright? Because ideas are intangible, but there are some tangible stuff you must build around the idea. Alright? Do you understand? To help you channel. Idea is like liquid. Every liquid must have channels. The channels are stuff that binds, that bounds the idea, that guides the idea, and ensure the idea flows safely. So I call them systems and what? Structures. Then the last one, number 11, is monetize the idea. There is no idea that God has given you that can bring profits. Maybe I will not say must monetize profits. Whatever profit means to you. If profit means helping people get better without making money, that's profits. But make profits out of the idea. Can we stand to our feet? Did you get something this morning? Wow. Talk to God this morning and say, Lord, that one idea that will revolutionize my life. As I leave service this morning, may I walk in that idea. Open your mouth and pray. That one idea that will revolutionize my life. Bring it to my life. Bring it to my destiny. I see God say today that the ideas that will change your levels is coming upon you this morning, is coming upon you this week, The idea that will move you to the next level in career, in business, in finance, in every area of your life. So shall it be. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Lord, I declare this morning that your people are blessed. Every word that has gone forth from this altar, let it make them who you have ordained them to be. I declare over you, you will champion causes for God in this nation and beyond. You will be champions of change, champions of revolution. And let it start with your own life and it will spread to everywhere that God has positioned you. I declare that you are blessed. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name. All eyes closed. In case you are in service this morning, you are not born again, or you are listening to this word anywhere in the world, can you say this prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, accept you this morning as my Lord and Savior. You are the custodian of ideas, and therefore I ask that you will come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for answering me. In Jesus' name I pray. If you have made that prayer, I declare you saved in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. As we go this week, your hand rests upon us. The countenance of God shines on us. We move from glory to glory and from grace to grace. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. God bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord.
We know that this message has been of tremendous blessing to you. For information on how you can get more of our messages and ministry materials, or how you can partner with us to bless more lives all over the world, kindly visit our website www.destinyimpactchurch.org or call the following numbers: 0803-832-8650 or 0809-462-8743. Thanks and God bless you. Destiny Impact Church, empowering in destinies. Jesus is Lord.